Hello, I'm Mark Lowen, and welcome to The Documentary from the BBC World Service. We bring people together to share their experiences, and this time we hear from residents of Pakistan's second largest city, Lahore, and the Indian capital, Delhi, as they experience the toxic effects of smog in Pakistan and India. In recent weeks, dangerous levels of poor air quality has caused authorities to close a number of schools, universities and businesses in India and Pakistan. We hear from residents and students about what it's like to live, work and study in a city where going outside could damage your health.
Everything is so grey and bleak, I can't even see the sun anymore. And not even like 5 minutes in, my throat starts burning, my eyes are burning. I can't even go out without having to wear a mask.
Lahore and Delhi often experience smog at this time of year. It's caused by a combination of agricultural waste burning, industrial emissions and stagnant weather that produces a thick, low-lying layer of smoke, gases and chemicals. But recently, air pollution in both cities has climbed to such high levels that smog can even be seen from space, and it's causing a lot of concern. Delhi has recorded levels 15 times above the Air Quality Index level, or AQI, that the World Health Organization considers satisfactory for breathing. Meanwhile, poor air quality in Lahore, in neighboring Pakistan, has also reached record levels and toxic air is disrupting everyday life. It used to be known as the City of Gardens, but now many of its parks are closed. Here's how the smog is affecting some of the people that live and work there, starting with rickshaw driver Asif Ali.
We are compelled to go out because we have children. If we stay home, what will we do? We have to earn our livelihood. There is no other option. Not everyone is a job holder. We are laborers. We need to earn to be able to eat.
Hi, this is Daniel Rasool. I was born in Lahore and I've lived here for most of my life, really. Smog has unfortunately come to be perceived less as a health hazard and more as a season at this point. Not breathing isn't an option, so it's impossible to avoid. My job allows me to work from home a lot of the time. So I've got an air purifier running at full pelt, the doors and windows shut. I use a mask when I'm heading outdoors because you can actually smell the acrid smoke the moment you step out of your house. It feels like you're breathing in poison and at the same time you have no defense against it. The numbers are astonishing too. People check the air quality index and the PM2.5 numbers in the atmosphere daily as if they were checking the weather or a sports result. PM2.5 levels over 25 parts per million are considered unhealthy, and Lahore, as I speak, is currently 20 times that number.
Hello, this is Hijab. I'm originally from Islamabad, but I have been living in Lahore for work for the past couple of years. It's really bad. Whenever you step out of your house or step out of your car, you get this big rush of like toxic air that's just hitting you and just going, you know, in your lungs and everything. And you can feel the effects. The city's not visible anymore. Like at night, it's almost zero visibility. You know, it's really hard to drive in the city. It's like smoking 1,000 cigarettes a day. It's that bad. You have water coming out of your eyes like almost 24 hours. I don't have any conditions, any breathing problems or anything like that. But even I have to take, you know, big gasps of air just to keep the air inside my lungs. And even when I'm doing that, at the back of mine, I'm just thinking, why am I breathing this air? And then it's going to damage my lungs in the long term.
My name is Nawab Hassan Hussain Qureshi. I'm an agriculturalist. There's a consistent haze all over the city. Wherever you go, it becomes impossible to breathe at times. You find yourself, you know, sitting in one space with air purifiers on all the time, hoping that it'll bring it to an acceptable level. Because if you don't, there's almost this constant feeling of choking or feeling like you're unwell all the time. And it really is affecting people and their mental health. And I hope that the governments, both at a provincial, city, and indeed at a federal level, start taking this seriously, because this is a climate catastrophe and the people of Lahore and the people of Punjab are paying a very big price.
You heard there a reference to PM2.5 numbers. These are levels of particulate matter, tiny particles in the air, which can enter the lungs and cause a number of diseases. It's hard to imagine waking up to a thick layer of smog outside your window, but things are now so bad that Delhi and Lahore have entered partial lockdown. The air quality index in these cities has registered in the severe category, which means it can seriously impact not just those with existing health conditions, but even those who are healthy. Visibility outside has been reduced, flights have been diverted, and people are being told to stay at home. My colleague Lukwesa Burak spoke to Nimisha in Delhi, we've changed her name as she'd like to be anonymous, and Shahid in Lahore about how the smog had been affecting them.
At the night, we can see anything beyond like 10 to 15 feet. It's like a smog and it has a taste of smoke as well.
You can taste it, you can smell it, you can feel it in your throat. It's captured all your senses, I would say.
Obviously, people are closing their windows, closing their doors. Does that solve the problem for you?
Inside our houses, it's a little bit easy for us to live and to breathe. But like you cannot go outside. So that's why for the last 1 week or so, we have closed our windows and we ask the kids as well to just shut down the door as we do it in summers due to heat. The AQI, it has reached up to 1,000. So you can imagine that the WHO limits are at 50 or below that. So quite difficult.
It's the same here. Though I do want to add that just shutting the doors and windows doesn't solve the problem because you can tell that your breath is getting much shallower. You're not able to breathe properly. In fact, that's the reason why my family and I invested in air purifiers a few years ago.
My colleague was saying that our CFO is demanding that we should have the air purifier in our office. We have 300 staff over here. So I say that how we will manage so much funds for this because we are a charity. It's quite difficult for every family or every office to have purifiers. And adding to that, there is a lot of field work as well that people have to do.
What impact is this having on your health?
I've had asthma since my infancy, and I still do struggle with it. I have to restrict my movements outside. I always have my nebulizer and my medicine sort of ready. I just get a little bit of more exposure than I should to the air outside, and I might just have one of my asthmatic attacks.
I have kids, so for the last 1 week, they couldn't go out. And for the last 1 week, we haven't seen the sun. Is there is any sun in Lahore?
Is there any particular time which is better? Is it better in the evening? You need to go out and get food. Nimisha, you said you wear a mask, but what about your eyes?
We do try and venture out when the sun is out, if it is out. Definitely not early in the morning and later in the evening after the sun sets. Sometimes you just need things, you need to step out and get these items. You do wear a mask. I think a lot of people now have started suggesting that we wet our cotton masks in advance and then we wear a damp mask on our mouths. And I always wear my sort of sunglasses. I'm one of the odd people in the supermarket wearing dark sunglasses so that I'm protecting my eyes.
You know that the primary schools are also closed down indefinitely in Lahore and in some other cities like Multan and Faisalabad. This is like a situation that we have faced in the COVID that we used to have all these masks.
And do you trust the food? I mean, a lot of this food is grown outdoors. Is the water supply being affected?
We still get our water supply, barring, of course, a few issues with water supplies that we face across the year. And food is still being sold outside. So I think it's just a matter of when you get the food into your house, you're cleaning it a lot more thoroughly than one probably would in the summer when the pollution isn't as much.
The hospitals are receiving a lot of patients these days, as we are also running medical facilities. So we are getting all these reports. There are a lot of patients, especially the patients who are prone to such diseases in the winter season.
Nimesha, you suffer from asthma. Is this something you're very aware of?
Absolutely. I think it's something I've dealt with since infancy. And there was a period in my life where I felt like my asthma is gone. But I think in the past few years, especially with the AQI levels at an all-time high in Delhi, it sort of resurfaced. My grandmother also has asthma. So because of her age and her respiratory issues, for her, it's a complete lockdown once again.
Who do you blame for that?
You're always very keen and eager to blame just one party, but this is not one of those answers. It's a lot of factors. You've got firecrackers during Diwali. You've got age-old agricultural practices. You've got vehicular pollution, construction pollution. And I think because Delhi especially is landlocked, all of this makes a huge difference and the AQI levels just shoot up.
Shahid, the UN obviously has warned that 11 million children across Pakistan are facing toxic danger because of what is going on. You've got your children at home. Their education is being impacted. How does that make you feel? And how are the kids dealing with it?
One thing that the COVID has taught all of us that there can be situations in your life that your movement can be restricted. So now in Pakistan, all the major academic institutions and they have these online facility. I was just like 1 hour before, I'm teaching in a university as well. So they have messages us that from tomorrow onwards, we will be shifting to the online mode. It has its own problems and issues because it's not like a situation in the whole universe. They can feel normal, but it has an effect. And yesterday, one of my cousins was telling me that we are unable to connect for the last 3 days to our school and the classes of our kids are missing.
Nimesha, you're vulnerable health-wise anyway because of asthma. But, you know, in terms of the elderly and the poor, how are they coping? What can you tell us?
Obviously, I recognize the fact that I have that background of privilege where I said I can afford an air purifier. Not everyone can, and not anybody should. I don't think we should ever be having a conversation where I need an air purifier to breathe clean air. The visits to the general physicians have increased quite a bit. Hospitalizations are increasing again because of respiratory issues. I can't even imagine the people who are dealing with it on ground. You know, there's construction still happening. So you've got the dust and the air pollution generally, which is affecting a lot of the construction workers as well. So it's definitely a bad situation.
But it's not like when COVID, we have a curfew-like situation. The government is slowly pushing their things and they, you can say, close the schools. Then they ask the businesses and offices to work from home. But people don't like think that. They say that smog is not a very big thing that we should miss our offices. Like we are in humanitarian organization, so we used to come even in COVID and we know that how to operate these things. But for the normal businesses, they will miss their opportunities and their profits. And I just know in the last 2 years that there is flights are being shifted or diverted and things like that for the last few days it's happening. So it's quite like a traveling issue as well.
On the long-term impacts, I mean, there are reports saying, Nimesha, that the conditions in Delhi are going to get worse. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Having grown up in not as polluted an environment as what it currently is, I remember having such a blast of a time in Delhi when the weather is lovely and you've got your outdoor markets. And I just genuinely feel so deeply disappointed that the generation now, including mine, including the younger ones, the older ones, can't experience that because they worry about their health as they should. So it's deeply upsetting because you miss out on so many experiences. I mean, in the summer, you've got the scorching heat preventing you from stepping out. And now in the winters, you've got severe pollution. It's a double whammy.
The government is saying we will do this and we will do this. But the thing is that when the season passed, so we don't see any the commitments that the government or the international community made cause, they don't deliver. And then there is a, like a business as usual. There are a lot of new regulations imposed in the last 1 week. And there are a lot of thinking that how to convert to EVs and how to take these green energy things and all these things. But then they died down as soon as the smog cleared.
There are always initiatives and the government usually uses this as a major point when they are running their campaigns for re-election as well, that, you know, we'll do something to reduce the pollution levels, but then they don't deliver.
Nimesha in Delhi and Shahid in Lahore, thank you for sharing your observations and experiences with us and helping us understand what life is like for you at the moment. You're listening to BBC OS Conversations on smog in Delhi and Lahore from the BBC World Service. We heard Nimesha there lament the fact that younger people were unable to enjoy being outside at this time of year. So we brought together three young students to see how it's affecting them. They are 13-year-old Myra and 17-year-old Ahi in Delhi and Pia, a 22-year-old law undergraduate in Lahore.
Even when universities remain open, students from low-income backgrounds, you know, often commute on motorcycles, which exposes them directly to the toxic air. So it's really very worse situation. Prolonged exposure to this hazardous air can lead to serious health issues like respiratory illness and eye irritation. It is a constant battle between continuing education and protecting our health.
When you go outside, how do you feel?
Like our mind and our mental health really sucks. Like we cannot even go outside for a walk.
Ahi, tell me what it's like when you have been outside in Delhi.
Currently, the air index that we are supposed to live in is considered dangerous. The institutes have postponed all the examinations, everything. I feel really sad about it because it's affecting my future, my career, my health at once and all.
Myra, you are younger than the other two in this conversation.
I'm
13. You're 13, yes?
Yeah.
Tell me what it's like when you go out on your own or with your family.
Whenever I go out, especially in the morning, when I have to go like to take a walk, all I see is smog. I can barely see my own lane. Everything is so grey and bleak. I can't even see the sun anymore. And not even like 5 minutes in, my throat starts burning. My eyes are burning. I can't even go out without having to wear a mask. Walking my dog has become a pain now. And especially because actually I have a medical condition with my throat. So I am having coughing fits every night now. And it's become much, much more harder for me.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I understand that you are a keen poet as well, and that you've written a poem about the smog. So something good has come out of it. Would you be able to read a little bit of your poem for us?
Yeah, sure. I would love to. It's called Air Everywhere, But None to Breathe. Every day, I wake up distraught. Instead of the bright sky, I only see smog. Masks back on and health going to the trash. Now even stepping out seems rash. Is this deja vu? No, it's not. It's my entire life. At this point, I'm surprised I'm alive. Maybe in another universe, I can play outside without harm. Maybe, just maybe, one winter can be calm. I pity the poor sun up there, having lost its light. I wonder how it feels without all its might. Now, trees look dead, and the thought of a colorless sky fills me with dread. I thought and believed history wouldn't repeat. Alas, I shouldn't have expected anything neat. Instead of words coming out, my throat's too occupied with coughs. It's a shame what happened to Delhi, which was once tough. Now, breathing seems to be too hard. I hope the bright sunny days aren't far. I feel sick every day without fail. Please help me before my life becomes a sorry tale.
It's a very moving poem, that, especially written by somebody so young. I wonder, Ahi and Pia, when you hear those words of somebody who is even younger than you, I mean, how does that make you feel? I don't know if you have younger siblings who are growing up in this air.
To be honest, it feels like so true. You know, we know that stepping outside could harm our health, and simple activities like morning or evening walks are out of the question, and we often feel trapped indoors. There is a sense of frustration and helplessness, especially as young individuals, because smog is an issue we cannot directly resolve ourselves. The constant gray skies, difficulty breathing, and fear of long-term health impacts have left us feeling so anxious and unmotivated at times. To be honest, this is so exhausting as young individuals.
I have a younger sister. She's exactly Myra's age, and she has to wear a mask because the air is so toxic, it's so polluted. And being a younger child, she has always been provided with whatever she wants, and right now she's looking forward towards an air purifier.
Myra, in your short life so far, can you remember a year when going out in Delhi, the air felt clean? Or has it always been like this?
No, I mean, it always has been like this. Personally, when I was very young and when it like first happened, when I was like below 8, then at that point, I didn't really understand what was going on. But as soon as I like got older, I like realized what was happening. And I just stopped being shocked, because this happens every year, especially during winters. And I can't even like remember one single day while like I took a fresh breath of air. Like when I was not feeling heavy and I'm not coughing all day.
Do you feel that the authorities are doing enough to take precautions to stop people burning rice stubble, which many people say is behind this?
Not at all. There are a lot of ways that they can make up for it. I just don't understand why they aren't doing it, because I'm sure they are capable of it.
I feel the government, the authorities are doing nothing compared to what they are required to do. Providing measures and giving certain measures to the civilians to follow, maybe the industries or whatever reason that's accounting to all this pollution, is just that isn't enough. And we see people dying out of bad air quality, and that's very common these days.
I would like to quote my experience in the United States. Last year, I was there for a semester exchange program, and the contrast was stark. The air quality was so clean and people were highly conscious of environmental sustainability. For example, cycling was a common means of transportation there, particularly among college and university students. And as we all know, this not only promotes fitness, but also significantly reduces emissions. However, in Pakistan, the concept of cycling has diminished due to our socio-cultural status quo mindset, where people want to appear as affluent and associate cycling with poverty. So additionally, this infrastructure in Pakistan does not support cycling. There are no dedicated bicycle tracks and the roads are unsafe, especially in urban areas like Lahore. And it is so disheartening to see how the lack of consistent policies and public awareness has led to Pakistan having some of the worst air quality globally. I started riding cycle last year, and even my fellow students and my friends and even the professors were like so amazed, and they were giving this strange vibe that what are we doing? Like if I'm doing something weird. So we need to campaign it nationwide.
I definitely agree with that. Here in Delhi also, I think that Delhi can learn from other countries and how they are managing pollution and how are they sustaining their air quality. Another improvement like Delhi can add is promoting electric cars on the road and public transport and spreading public awareness, because a lot of people in Delhi here take pollution with a grain of salt.
Can I ask you all, do you want to stay and grow up in your countries if this toxic smog continues in India and Pakistan? Ahi?
No, I would not like to stay in my country if the conditions are persistent. I would definitely like to move to a developed country where they can take care of their air quality and plus they can take care of the civilians.
I will, because I'm confident about my country. I'm sure that they'll find a way to overcome this challenge. But overall, I'm a bit disappointed because this happens year after year and clean air is our birthright, and it's kind of sad that we have to beg our government to provide it for us.
I genuinely want to stay and contribute to its progress, and if we, the youth, don't step up to make the changes it needs, then who will? But it needs collective efforts from both the government and its people. Leaving might be an easier option, but I want to play my part in shaping a brighter future for the nation.
Students peer in Lahore, Pakistan, with Myra and Ahi in Delhi, India, offering solutions to the thick smog blanketing their cities, while also trying to negotiate a life where the air is currently too toxic to go outside. Governments in both countries are trying to mitigate the effects, from lockdown measures to temporarily shutting down industrial polluters. But in the last month alone, close to 2 million people have been admitted into hospital in Lahore with respiratory illnesses. Likewise, hospitals in Delhi have experienced a sharp surge in visits, with a number of patients suffering respiratory illnesses like bronchitis having almost doubled what it was. I'm Mark Lowen, and you've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.